Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Take the little ass of my college football picks. I'm not going to lie. 4-1. And, you know, frankly, it should have been 5-0. But listen, I digress. Not as good in the NFL, but 2-3, right? I think 2-3 in the NFL. So 6-4 overall. Sorry I made you money if you follow all my picks. My bad. Right? Ravens couldn't complete the task and win and cover. That was, in fact, my bad. Just flat out missed on a couple others. The Niners are exceptionally well coached and don't think Jared Goff played particularly well. There's a bunch of stuff going on in that Sunday night game. The Dodgers will take on the Rays in the World Series. I have to say this. I chose baseball over football in terms of main TV last night, and I was rewarded with fall baseball. It was awesome. Like, you can tell me, hey, too many games. Hey, it's boring. Hey, there's a lot of stuff. But I legitimately had a great time with my children watching the Dodgers. And I'm not a Dodger fan. I like the Dodgers. I'm an Angel fan. As a native, I'm not an Angelino, though, right? I'm an Orange Countyan. Or what? I don't even know what that would be called. But that was great. And John Smoltz and Joe Davis, by the way, who called the game because Joe Buck was calling Tampa versus Green Bay. Anyway, lot to get to. Let me start with the Tampa Green Bay game. What an ass whooping, huh? Woo. And I guess part of it is everybody catches a whooping every now and again, right? That's like kind of what happens. Everybody catches a whooping, and we should at some point just go, hey, it's a beatdown. It was going to happen at some point. And Aaron Rodgers even said, I felt like we needed a little bit of a wake-up call this season because things have been so good. I feel like we need a little kick in the ass a little bit. Well, you got it, right? You absolutely got it. Do you remember last year they had two regular season trips to California and both times they were just kind of asleep at the wheel and got their butts kicked? That's exactly what happened yesterday. Now, it should be pointed out that things were going smoothly. They're up 10-0, and Aaron Rodgers was kind of feeling himself as he just kind of flung the ball on an out pattern to Devontae Adams, and the Buccaneers were sitting on the route and took it back for a pick six. But I don't believe any quarterback is great when you constantly have a muddied pocket. But Rodgers is a guy that we thought had great escapability, great creativity, and a guy who could just flat out make plays. Now, I noticed something that I don't know how many other people mentioned. Is it Tonyan, right? The tight end? He kind of tweaked his knee. It was on a big third down where he should have been open. It was actually right before the pick. He tweaked his knee, and one, it caused them to not get a first down because he was late out of a break because of it. And two, when he went out of the game, that was kind of the safety net a little bit for Aaron Rodgers over the middle against some of these blitzes. But this was a house of cards. That's what happened there. A complete house of cards. And they all fell down. As soon as Aaron Rodgers threw those two picks, the team collapsed. But maybe instead of paying attention to Rodgers, we should pay attention to Tom Brady and the genius that is Brady. Sure, he has better offensive weapons, but he's found a way to use Rob Gronkowski. And more than anything, he tries to make smart plays on time, and he covers for his inability to make as many plays, not just with the supporting cast, but with an outstanding defense. Buccaneers are the number two overall defense, according to Football Outsiders. When the Patriots' defense ranked in points per game the last four seasons, first, fifth, sixth, first. All right, like Brady's the same Brady. He's fine. When he gets time, he can make throws. When he doesn't, he's under duress. He's not very good. He's immobile. He throws a nice deep ball, nice touch passes. He's not throwing guys open nearly as much anymore, if at all. The level of creativity has been damped down because outside of Gronk, he hasn't worked with these other guys. So he doesn't have a Welker, a Amendola, an Edelman, a guy he always seems to find on third down. He hasn't established that relationship yet. But in the meantime, you know, you just play it safe, you play it smart, and your defense, you know, keeps you in and gets you leads in games. And the Green Bay Packers crumbled a bit. Not a bit. They completely crumbled. The good news is that that was, on many levels, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going back to their last game a week ago Thursday, and so many other teams. The bad news is we've actually seen this before from the Packers with Matt LaFleur as their head coach and Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback, and they haven't seemed to fix these problems, right? What happened last night is the same thing that happened against the Niners twice last year. Just overwhelmed by a pass rush, and once they got behind, Aaron Rodgers seemed to revert to some of his old habits. And oh yeah, by the way, Aaron Rodgers was off. He was just not good. It was a moment to put the league on notice. They could not do it. And instead, Tampa, just beaming with confidence, ends up scoring 38 unanswered points. That's remarkable. There was a lot of interesting things that happened yesterday. The Colts getting three touchdowns down and coming back against a young Cincinnati team. The Tennessee-Houston game that went overtime. The Vikings continue to struggle as Atlanta got their first win. I don't know if I'm using this term correctly, but low-key, Cam Newton was trash yesterday. He was bad. And I do wonder if we all overreacted to Cam early in the season, much the way we overreact to others that we have low expectations of early in the season. Jared Goff was goffle. I love that I got a chance to see Tua play. I do think that Detroit is a lot better than their record again. Baker Mayfield, as we told you, was the weak link, and man, did it look like it yesterday in Pittsburgh. But the number one thing that I learned is same old Packers, where when Rodgers falters and gets a little bit behind and a little bit pissy with the play calling, with his own play, with his pass protection, they don't react well. And they were just overwhelmed by a pass rush. And that Tom Brady's smart. Don't just find a team with weapons, find a team with a defense so that you can make plays or not make plays. And if you don't, the defense can pick you up. Different team, different uniform, different coach, different offense, same Tom Brady. Same Tom Brady. All right, got a lot to get to. This might have been the worst performance of the weekend, but no one outside of me is talking about it. We'll do so upcoming next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So much of the narrative in sports doesn't actually have to do with how good you are or what you accomplish. A lot of times it's about the assumption or presumption of who you are, right? Expectations. The perfect example is the Dodgers. So the Dodgers were by a mile the best team in baseball in the regular season this year. They were on pace, if you prorated their stats, to win 116 games. And their run differential, again, if you would have prorated over 116 games, would have been the greatest in the history of the sport. Like, they were so good. So what happens is when they come from 3-1 down against the Atlanta Braves, there's a good portion of people like, well, I mean, they should have. They're the best team in baseball. It's a 7-game series. Like, all right, but the Braves are legit good. Their starting rotation had been essentially unhittable throughout the playoffs. They had a 3-1 lead. There's no home field advantage. The Dodgers back end of their bullpen. No one knows what they're going to do, even Dave Roberts. The Dodgers are famously managed by HAL 9000, the computer, who I'm sure the computer's like, does not compute. HAL 9000 out, right? Like, so if you use the expectations and the assumption that they're far and away the best baseball team, you're less impressed by what they did last night or what they've done in this series. But if you actually watched, that's pretty awesome. And you're just caught up in the moment. And that, and overcoming a 3-1 deficit, overcoming a 2-0 deficit last night, or a 3-2 deficit last night, overcoming any of these things are much more impressive when you take out expectations and just enjoy it for the moment. So Cam Newton was not on an NFL roster for about 3 weeks, right? He gets released by the Carolina Panthers, and there's people that claim, you name it, why he wasn't on one. I've talked to NFL front office people. In fact, I talked to two different front offices who both, one signed, the other one traded for. Now, one, they both acquired quarterbacks in the offseason, and both the quarterbacks they acquired are now their starting quarterbacks. So that's, I'm not going to give away who I talked to or whatever. But I asked them both, like, do you have regret over Cam Newton? They're like, you know, the problem with Cam was couldn't really check his shoulder. In addition to, we don't know how he would fit in with our offense. He had run several different offenses in Carolina, but we don't know if he can throw and throw consistently. I mean, Cam had a huge arm. Always struggle with accuracy, but a gigantic arm for a time in Carolina. And then, of course, he's had shoulder issues and a shoulder surgery. And you know, he's been pronounced by his own doctors to be 100% fine. I don't know if it's he's coming off of COVID. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. If he was symptomatic, well, you're coming off of a really, really tough virus that you fought off. I'd give a little benefit of the doubt there. It is still a new system. People are adjusting to it. They don't have great weapons, but they didn't have great weapons during the season. We did backflips saying, well, Cam is back, and everybody missed. This is Cam Newton talking about his struggles yesterday against the Broncos.
Oh, without a doubt. But yet, you know, we're still professionals. And, you know, we're expected to do our job and play at a high level. And we didn't do that today. You know, anytime you turn the ball over that many times, you know, the success rate is extremely low. But yet, we still had an opportunity to win. And we just got to find ways to do that.
Yeah, look, he had two interceptions. So did Drew Locke. Right? It wasn't like Drew Locke was great. Drew Locke was 10 of 24 for 189 yards. Phillip Lindsay's a stud, though, man. Man, how good is that guy? He's just a stack. I like watching Phillip Lindsay play football. I have no connection to the Broncos. I don't know him personally. I know that they signed another running back to more money who got a DUI. So Phillip Lindsay got all the carries. That's called taking advantage of an opportunity. Melvin Gordon wants to get a DUI on a Tuesday night when he's got practice Wednesday morning. You're going to get a shot to be the starter and get 85% of the carries, and he took advantage of it. He was great. And I'll give Cam Newton this. Like, he didn't really have a running back, right? They didn't really have a running back to hand the ball to. But he was bad. They were bad. And I don't know if it's COVID, or I don't know if it's people figuring him out, or I don't know if it's they didn't have the weapons after all. But that was bad. It was just, and let's not act like the Broncos defense is the traditional Broncos defense. You got a tremendous coordinator as your head coach, but they're beaten up by injuries, including, of course, most notably, Von Miller. So I'm trying to figure out, as we get our bearings, was it because we had such limited expectations of what Cam Newton would be? Or was Cam Newton really good and he just had a bad week? Or was he really good now he's coming back from COVID? Or did they just not have any running backs to, you know, to run the stuff that they want to run? Like, what in the hell happened? But that was a The kids used the term low-key. That was a low-key, terrible performance.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
We got a lot to get to. Let's turn to Trent Dilfer, Super Bowl champion quarterback. He is he's also the head coach at Lipscomb Academy, who I'm sure you guys get a dominant win this week.
We did. Another shutout, our fourth in the last 6 weeks, 41-0.
41-0. Good. Okay, so it's not like Greg Williams' offense working against defense. It's you guys working together. I want to ask you about Carson Wentz because the first half couldn't have been any worse. The second half, I felt like he balled out. Now, I know they lost and there was a weird call for the two-point conversion that they went for, but am I wrong to think that he actually played really, really well?
Yeah, I think he's really showing that warrior spirit that he has. I think that's what most people that got to know him through the draft process grew to love about him. And then he's shown that early in his career. He's a great competitor. He'll fight to the bitter end. Same thing that makes you laugh, makes you cry. You know, sometimes he does these Superman-type things, and you giggle like, oh, my gosh, how'd he do that? And then they'll do it again, and it'll be an interception. So it's that same Brett Favre mentality of trying to win every single play. But there's something admirable about that. I mean, the kid's a great competitor. He doesn't make excuses when things go bad. He's a positive guy. His teammates love him. His coaches love him. I mean, I really think he's one day going to be a champion. He's going to take a team from week one all the way to the Super Bowl, and all this character and grit he's developing early in his career is going to pay off.
Trent Dilfer, our guest in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. What happened to Aaron Rodgers after the two picks? It looked bad, but, I mean, talk me through everything.
Yeah, it looked a little bit like a defeatist mentality. I did call him this morning, and he was killing him for being a front runner and all that stuff. I'm not willing to go there. I think Aaron's a great competitor. He was frustrated. It's come pretty easy for the Packers this year. They've had that really nice balance of Aaron's command spread stuff at the line of scrimmage and Matt's, you know, action power stuff. And so far they've kind of had everybody off balance. And this Todd Bowles and this defense kind of got after him a little bit, and you can sense some frustration. The biggest thing I saw, and it's hard to see on TV, I haven't watched the coach's tape, but I know Todd Bowles and I know how he defends you, and you could see kind of half of these looks on the TV copy. Is he doesn't let you read his mail. What I mean by that is most great quarterbacks are going to get up there, they're going to use the count to kind of figure out, they're going to open your envelope and read the mail that you have, meaning they're going to figure you out. And he doesn't let you do that. So everything you do against him has to be after the ball snap. And I think Aaron guessed a little bit. I think he thought he was going to see one thing, and he saw another after the ball was snapped and got him in trouble. And he never really figured him out. And that happens. I've seen it happen to Tom Brady playing against Rex Ryan before. If they play each other again in the playoffs, I would think it would be very different. I think he will have a better opportunity to figure out how Todd Bowles attacked him, how the defense attacked him, and he'll have more answers.
Yeah, no, it's really stunning to see a team that looks so good look so bad. Does feel like Brady, I know the score wouldn't indicate 38 straight unanswered points. His level of comfort is he's finding ways to get Gronk the ball. That seems to me kind of the change that I've seen. What have you seen? Again, I know only TV copy in that offense and how they're evolving.
I would agree with that. I think you got to have your blankie, right? Every little kid likes to have their blankie. It makes them feel comfortable. And a lot of times that's the tight end, especially when it's a Hall of Fame tight end and Gronk. I think Tom is, they've morphed the offense between his kind of high completion percentage stuff he did in New England and the highly aggressive down the field stuff that Bruce Arians has always done. But the nice balance in there is the tight end because he can do both. And it takes time too. We're just 2 weeks into the regular season if you count the first four as the preseason because they didn't have a preseason. So, you know, getting comfortable, getting fitting, maybe that's right. Getting new people to fit properly takes some time, and I think you're starting to see Brady and Gronk fit into this Arians offense and kind of put their signature on. I think it's only going to get better. They may still have some ebb and flows, but I think it's going to be really good by the end.
What was wrong with Cam Newton yesterday?
He's just not built for this type of. He's built for a very specific offense. Okay, so he's built to be a power runner, threaten teams with his legs, be an action pass, kind of chunk thrower. He's not built for this completion-based offense. I mean, it's the last play, but it's the most glaringly obvious play of the difference, is they dial up a really good conversion play there at the end on fourth down, and they have two open receivers. If he throws it on time and accurately, it's a first down, and he dirts it. I mean, that's the difference between him and a guy that's a surgeon from the pocket. They need to be very creative around what type of offense they run with Cam.
I totally agree with you, right? I mean, like, they're just going to be there's some things that he does that are extraordinary, but there's some things that limit him. And if you try and do the things that limit him, that's what you're going to get.
Yep. I think if you're not one of the handful of best, right? So you're Rodgers, you're Brady, you're Mahomes, Russell, whoever you want to put on that 6 to 8 best of the best of the best, you have limitations. And it's up to your play caller to avoid those things. It's not a bad thing. You still probably go to a bunch of Pro Bowls with limitations. But in critical moments, you better be calling the stuff that's not a limitation for the player.
What's different about Kirk Cousins this year as opposed to last year?
I don't know. I don't know. I walked in yesterday. I had a bunch of them on. I'm just watching that one. I'm watching the receptions. I'm like, what is going on? I don't know. I wish I did. I like Kirk. I'm rooting for Kirk. It's amazing how much one receiver, losing a receiver can hurt a team, and getting a receiver can help a team. With Diggs going to Buffalo and leaving Minnesota, I don't know if it's that simple, but it sure does look that simple.
Well, is it Stephans? Because they did get Jefferson. I know Jefferson is not where Diggs is now, right? As a rookie. I just wonder if it's Stephanski, not having Stephanski, a guy who he really, and I know that they were running some of this system last year with Stephanski, but is it that?
Well, it was the opposite last year. Remember, he was struggling when Stephanski was taking the lead and Kubiak took over. So it's actually it's the opposite of that. I was expecting Kirk to have a huge year because Kubiak was running the show completely. Last year, it was Kubiak that balanced the thing out. I mean, go back to the beginning of last year, he wasn't playing very well, and then Kubiak kind of balanced the thing out. So I really don't know. I know you put me on the phone to answer these questions.
No,
I don't
okay.
have an answer for
no,
you.
No, okay.
Point.
All right. Well, what about Baker? Obviously, full disclosure, that was what happened, was kind of my prediction of what would happen. You can't run the football against that Pittsburgh defense. They're nasty. And when you take them out of kind of their timing and their rhythm and their play action stuff, Baker, as you and I have discussed before, he wants to play like somebody that he is not, and he doesn't have the athletic ability or the arm. And I think it's a growing frustration. But he's also hurt, and he took a couple of good licks. What's your take on what happened to Baker and that offense in Pittsburgh yesterday?
So two things. If you go back and look at the Steelers' defenses all the way back to when I played, they're very predictable to take advantage of quarterbacks that can't go deep into progressions. So they base their whole defensive passing game around taking away a quarterback's first look.
Sure.
So they're going to force you to work through a progression. And they're going to do that while they're bringing five most of the time, or some type of exotic four, an overload where they're dropping other guys. So that's been their formula forever. Quarterbacks at Gasham are guys that can work deep and handle the line of scrimmage, pick up all their stunts and blitzes, so kind of control the line of scrimmage, and then work deep into a progression. So every week, I've never bet on a game in my life in any sport. Every once in a while, I kind of want to bet on a Steelers game when they're playing a quarterback that can't get deep in progressions, because you just kind of know what the story is going to, how it's going to unfold. Now, saying that, I think Baker's a guy that still doesn't work even progressions. He's also a guy that's really lacking physical confidence in the pocket. Part of that might be injury. I've been there. You're banged up. You don't really feel like taking 15 hits in the ribs all day long. So you're going to try to find the easy way and get out of there. He's a guy that his clock is speeding up in the pocket because he doesn't have the confidence to sit in there, especially when he's in gun. Now, for whatever reason, when he's under center and it's play action, he's got a little more patience, he's got a little more rhythm, and he's more successful. But when he catches, as soon as any color shows inside, he's not playing on the schedule of the offense. He's speeding up that schedule, and it's getting them a lot of trouble.
Trent Dilfer, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I watched Lamar play yesterday, and I know they won, but I mean, yesterday they were on time, on schedule. They got this big lead, And then it felt like the offense just fell flat. And then late in the game, when all they needed was a first down, they got that one penalty. So it becomes third and nine instead of, you know, like a third and five or six. And so he has to get in the shotgun and four wide. And the first sign of pressure, he drops his head and he looks to, he gets to where he wants to run. Are we seeing any sort of regression from Lamar? Or am I being a little too harsh in what I'm saying?
No, I think, you know, it's, I got asked a question as he hit his ceiling. Well, his ceiling's pretty high, right? When you do the things that he does well. Now, his limitation would be must-pass situations. You know, when everybody on TV and everybody in the building knows he's throwing it. Now you don't have to worry about all the creativity in the run game, the action pass, multiple tight ends crossing and all that stuff. Now you're playing third down defense. And you're going to play it the same way against Lamar. You're going to play it against Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and the rest of them. Now he's at a distinct disadvantage. That's where the great ones separate themselves. That's why I'm not willing to put him on the Mount Rushmore of current NFL quarterbacks because of that limitation. You put, you know, your Aaron, even a Drew Brees at his age, a Tom Brady, a Mahomes in that situation, and they're gonna better handle the line of scrimmage. They're gonna better handle getting through progressions. Lamar's not there yet. I still think he can get there. He's shown enough improvement in a short amount of time that makes me think he can get there, but he's not there yet. And I think that's the big key to playing Baltimore. If you go back and look at when they've stalled as they lose on first down, you got to beat them on first down. Because if you beat them on first down, you have better odds of getting them into a must-pass situation, either second or long or third and must. You get enough of those situations against Baltimore, now you're going to get Lamar at his – not his best stuff that he's still growing. And now you have a real advantage. Now you have a real chance of slowing down this offense.
Well, that's the voice of Trent Dilfer joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. A little closer to home, Tennessee Titans. They continue to find a way. I love the, you know, they do direct snaps, so you get the numbers count you want. They're right around the goal line to win the game in overtime. Vrabel's getting a lot of attention because he smartly knows the rules and sent out a guy for the 12th man on the field penalty. I'm wondering your level of buy-in. We talk about ceilings with teams. Is there ceiling a Super Bowl? Can you go to a Super Bowl playing with this kind of more limited playbook?
I don't know if I'd call it limited. Okay, I'll start with Vrabel. I think he needs to be considered one of the best coaches on the planet.
Sure.
Not because of the thing he did yesterday, how he manages his team. And I happen to be around the corner, right? So, I mean, we're literally 4 miles from each other.
Yep.
We as a staff study them every week. So we I make our offensive staff kind of look at how, or our entire staff kind of look how they do things and just have conversations about it. I think it's a really, really, really good staff. You can learn a lot as coaches by studying them. You know, Mike for years has been kind of that everybody in the NFL circle that I really trusted was saying, hey, he's the next great one. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Now we're seeing it come to fruition. I think he's gotten the best out of some players. I mean, what they've done with Ryan Tannehill, I mean, he's in his 15 starts is playing, you know, MVP caliber football. His numbers are ridiculous. His winning percentage is ridiculous. So they're getting a lot out of Ryan. They found, obviously, a dominant back, and they build their offensive kind of around that. I don't know if it's limited in the sense that they just know who they are.
Agreed.
They know who they are maybe as well as anybody, and that's probably their genius, and I credit Mike with a lot of that. I think they're very much real. I think they absolutely can make some noise in the playoffs, if not make a run all the way to the Super Bowl.
It's funny. I was talking with Ryan Music, my producer, for the show, and I said that the three things I like about them is they know who they are, and they're built. Even go back to when Mike Munchak was there, like he wasn't a great coach, but it was the same plan to build from the line out, right? And they've experienced some of the playoffs, and I also think that this style goes against how many of these teams are built defensively. You know, where, you know, obviously there are some teams in the AFC who are built to stop the run, but many teams are built more, you know, to always be in the dime, always be in the nickel, and you can't play that way against Derrick Henry and their running game. Is that fair?
It's totally fair. You're going to see more of this. You know, things always go in waves, and I think we're starting to see the end of the spread wave. because teams have drafted little and fast on defense. And, you know, even at the high school and college levels, we're having a ton of success in our high school level with playing six offensive linemen because everything's we're a spread team. So we get in six offensive linemen, we just pound you with spread receivers.
Right.
So, you know, you just see every level you're seeing this. You just take advantage of the trends and how teams are formatted. I think you're going to see more of it. The other thing I'll say about the Titans is this. They've overcome some adversity now. You know, being here in Nashville and going through this, all the stuff they've gone through with the COVID, they've had other setbacks this offseason. This is a group that gets through adversity really well, and they really like each other.
Yeah.
Like, this is a group that really, really likes each other. They have a ton of fun together. How they handled the whole tornado, I mean, it was just a blip on the national radar, but that tornado ripped through this community and caused a lot of upheaval. And that was, you know, they didn't just weather that storm. They were leaders during that time in our community. So there's a lot to like about this Titans team. I was busting Colin this morning. He needs to talk more about it. That's why you're better than Colin, because it was on your topic list. But this is a team that needs some national attention.
No, they're really, really good. And the liking each other, I don't think people understand how important that is. You know, like even Taylor Lewong, and who can be a polarizing guy to some people. Like when he tweeted out that he had a torn ACL, but like we're doing special things and like watch this. Like it wasn't a woe is me, I'm done. Everybody pay attention to me. It was, hey, we still got a really good team, whether I'm playing or I'm not playing. And I think that part of that's Vrabel, right? That Vrabel at his age, he can still get down there and knock heads with those guys, and they respect him. They'll play hard for him. And every once in a while, he shows them that he's paying attention. And that's what I think, like, the 12-man penalty thing is important, because it shows he's not a meathead. He really is a thinking man's coach. And I don't know. I'm with you. I'm in on this team. I like where they're going. I like the things they're doing. Trent, great stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No. If we're out of time, that's fine. You said most of it. They're a special group of kids. Taylor Lewan's a really good guy, too, by the way. A great team leader. Vrabel's got it going on, both from the intellectual standpoint, but also from the connection standpoint. He really connects well with his players and his coaches.
Awesome stuff, Trent. Congrats on the win. Maybe let the other team score every once in a while and not be such a jerk.
No.
Just let them score. No. Let them score. Thanks so much for joining us.
See you, buddy.
Bye. Doug Gottlieb Show rolls on here on Fox Sports Radio. Oh, I can't wait to coming up next. The NFL is becoming more like the NBA, and not in a good way. I'll explain next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
On November 6th and 7th, the world's best thoroughbreds will compete in 14 exhilarating races worth $31 million in purses and awards at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more about the Breeders' Cup World Championships at BreedersCup.com/2020. Let's get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Buyer.
Stand by, what do you got?
Doug, the game today is...
Psychic?
No, it's not.
No, it's not. No. No.
No. No.
No.
Wrong. It's big deal, little deal, or no deal, yes. Okay?
Big deal, little deal, no deal.
All right, Doug, big deal, little deal, or no deal. This is pointed out on Pro Football Talk that 10 teams in the National Football League have one win or less through 6 weeks of the season. Big deal, little deal, or no deal?
Feels like a big deal. Feels like a big deal, right? In a league where the difference between 9-7 and 7-9 is usually this close, to have the disparity between the good teams and the bad teams be so great feels like a big deal.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal that Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. threw his helmet on the sidelines and took his cleats off before the end of the loss to the Steelers on Sunday.
That is a big deal. That is a really, really, really big deal. You know, he just, like, look, dude, we get it. You're frustrated. But showing your frustration doesn't do anyone any good, you especially.
Do you think that it's, if he played a different position, if a lineman did it, do you think it's viewed differently? Do you think we view wide receivers as more of, you know, divas for not getting the football as opposed to?
Yes, it would be different if it was a different one. But it's also, he knows everybody's watching him.
Sure.
And he chooses to not change his behavior.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal that it seems Titans head coach Mike Vrabel used a loophole in the NFL rules again that allowed a penalty against his team to stop the clock to his team's advantage?
That feels like a big deal. Big deal. I saw it. I thought it was brilliant. And I just think, you know, it's like, you know, he was a former member of the Patriots. You either work harder and then you're smart or you're not. There are loopholes within the rules. John Harbaugh, I don't know if you guys remember the end of the Super Bowl when they were punting, right? Everyone on their team held. Everyone. So that they could run the clock out before they had a safety to end the game. That's a loophole within the rules. The really good coaches know them. The other ones, just they think they know everything.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal. This was placed on a graphic via CBS during the Jets-Dolphins game that Joe Flacco is about to pass Joe Montana for 20th on the all-time passing yardage list.
That's like a no deal, right? I mean, it's more a sign of he played a long time and that the sport has changed so dramatically.
Yes, and it also shows that, you know, for as great as Joe Montana was, never had a 4,000-yard passing season during his career, which isn't a knock on Montana. It's right. Just how different the game is.
Game's totally different.
Yeah. Finally, Doug, big deal, little deal, or no deal that Alabama only picked up 6 first-place votes on number 1 Clemson in the latest AP Top 25 poll following their win against number 3 Georgia.
I think that's a little deal. I think most of it is reaction, just how good Clemson's looked the past 2 weeks.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We got a ton to get to still in this show. We're an hour away from kickoff of an NFL game. That's pretty cool, right? Hour away. We got a little baseball to get to because I do think that we learned something from baseball that we've learned from basketball as well. We'll get to that. But coming up next, Browns got stomped yesterday in Pittsburgh. It felt like an easy pick to me. Right? A team that likes that their success is determined based upon their ability to run the football against a great run defense. I just didn't see it for the Browns. But what's lost in it is the issue with the Browns. I'll share it with you next on the Doug Gottlieb Show.